Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runner, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by RacePlace.com, RunCatalina.com, our Challenge Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $65 million to keep people in the game of life through sport. And you can check out any of our interviews on iTunes and on Babbittville.com. Our next guest is a two-time Olympian. She's a senior vice president for competition and athlete experience for the 2015 Special Olympics World Games coming to Los Angeles July 25th through August 2nd. 7,000 athletes, 3,000 coaches coming to town. Our guest, Jan Pelchikoff. Jan, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
Hey, thanks so much for taking time. Before we start talking Special Olympics, anytime I get an Olympian on, I feel honored to have you with us. And talk a little bit about the Olympic experience going back to 1976 and 1980 in rowing.
Well, that was a long time ago. when I competed, that was the first year that women's rowing was included in the program, so that was pretty special.
Yeah.
But, you know, like most Olympians who will talk about their experience, I think one of the biggest moments is really the opening ceremony.
And, right.
You know, you remember a lot about the racing, but often it's, you know, you start to zero in on some of those really special moments just with the people, the emotion of it, and the emotion of all of that. In 1980, while the teams were selected, of course, we did not compete.
So yeah.
That was quite a disappointment, but, you know, stuff happens.
Right.
And life goes on, but the games went on. They just went on without the United States participating. And quite a few other countries also, which was unfortunate for those who missed it.
So having that Olympic experience, I'm betting, really makes a big difference when it comes to what you've done with Special Olympics, and especially with it coming here to Los Angeles, which, you know, again, 7,000 athletes, 3,000 coaches, 170 countries. I think a lot of times people don't realize how big the Special Olympics has become. How important was your background as an Olympian as to connecting to what the Special Olympians will experience here in L.A.?
Well, I certainly understand from the perspective of what athletes need to have, what conditions need to be in place, and what services need to be around them so they can perform. Probably as, if not more important, would be my professional background in sport management. I was involved with my profession is sport management.
Right.
I was involved in the Olympic Games in 1984, and a significant role there, and with World Cup Soccer in 1994. So I have quite a few big events under my belt just as a profession, in addition to working as a technical delegate for one of the international sport federations, rowing. So I have a perspective that ranges from almost all the client groups, except maybe media. That's the one they haven't worked with much, other than to make sure the venues have what they needed. So I think all of that combined, and then I work on, when I go back to my other job, I'll be back with Special Olympics Southern California, where I'm the chief program officer. So I have that Special Olympics background as well. So I think that combined gave me a really good background and prepared me for working with our team here with World Games, which is coming up very shortly.
Very shortly. And when you're talking about 7,000 athletes coming to town, I'm sure you're very excited. I keep repeating the number of athletes who you're responsible for and the number of coaches and countries. But what an undertaking when you're talking about bringing that to it's an Olympic experience.
Yes, it is. It is. It's the largest sporting event that will take place with that many countries anytime this year. It's the largest event since the Olympic Games in terms of the number of participants coming to Los Angeles since 1984. So it's huge. You know, we're spread out. We managed to concentrate the venues into some manageable areas so that it'll be a less rigorous kind of viewing experience for people, and certainly for the athletes. One of the things we were really committed to was minimizing the need to put them onto buses to transport. So all but I think 20% of the athletes will be within walking distance of their venues. They'll be living within walking distance. Or within, and I think we've got another, I've forgotten all the numbers, but there's another small percentage that will be within 2.5 miles of their residence, which would be at USC, commuting to the LA Convention Center. So, and then the rest that are commuting would be going to Griffith Park for golf and to the LA Equestrian Center for equestrian, Balboa Sports Complex for one of the rounds of soccer, and then to Long Beach. We've got six or seven sports down there. And so they'll be transported down there. But the, like I said, the bulk of our athletes, huge percentage, will be within walking distance.
And you mentioned about how important the opening ceremonies were for you as an Olympian. And you've got an opening ceremony, I think it's on the 25th of July. We'll talk a little bit about what people will see, because this is obviously open to the public. People can fill up that arena. Should people expect to see that evening?
Well, we're really lucky. This is going to be broadcast live on ESPN.
Wow.
And it's also, which is huge, ESPN is, this is massive support from a media standpoint. It's unprecedented, and we're really grateful for that. But the other thing is that this is the one event that requires a ticket, and you can purchase tickets still online. So you can go to the website. It's www.la2015.org.
Yeah.
Purchase tickets for that. But what people will be treated to, the big feature, of course, is the Parade of Athletes. And that kicks off. That's the first thing. So once the athletes are seated, then the entertainment begins. And the way that this whole ceremony was conceived, and I've seen who's performing, and that's up on the website as well, but this really is a performance for the athletes. What has happened many times in the past is the athletes are either halfway through, they get to see it, or, you know, when I was competing, we didn't get to see the ceremony because we were the finale. We didn't get to see much of the entertainment. So this is really being set up as a way to entertain the athletes and celebrate the athletes, and they will have a lot of fun.
So all the other events are open to the public free of charge?
Yes, free of charge. And we've got lots of information at our website about parking and food options. We've concentrated the venues. So we've got three sports going on at USC, and there's a festival that will have some sponsor activation and entertainment. We'll have a stage with performance going on. So there's other things to see, and you can just go between those three sports. LA Convention Center, we've got six sports, and again, you can move freely between those venues and take it all in. UCLA, we've got another seven involved there, and same thing, there'll be a festival there, so there's and food options.
Yeah.
We're using just about every single athletic facility between the two campuses. And then in Long Beach at Alamitos Beach, there's sailing. Well, sailing will be down at Belmont Pier, but we've got open water swim, triathlon, beach volleyball, and half marathon cycling running out of the aquarium area.
Right.
Aquarium Way. And those are all, everything's open, free to the public, and we encourage people to come. We've also got a program called Fans in the Stands where you can sign up a group. You have a group leader, and we ask that people bring 10 or as many as you want. We've got some corporate partners who are bringing literally thousands of people and have committed to attending certain sessions. And that's another thing you can get information about on our website. There's a link to our Fans in the Stands. It's not too late to sign up. But if you don't sign up and you just want to show up and experience the event, be a part of it, just show up. And again, the schedules are all up online. And we've tried to make it easy for people to come and visit and take part in this, because it's really something to see.
So what I love too is you've got the triathlon on the 26th, Sunday the 26th, and that's open to anybody, right, to participate along with the Special Olympic athletes.
Yes, and this is a new approach that we're using. We tested it last year. We had a bit of a test event at the end of May,
mm-hmm.
and as just to see what we could do with this, because there really aren't very many athletes that are coming for triathlon or half marathon. They were called demonstration events. Uh-huh. We're not calling them that. They're part of the program. So there are 19 athletes in triathlon and 27 and a half. Well, you know, that's not a whole lot of fun for the athletes to compete like that. And we knew the numbers were going to be quite low, but these are two of the sports we needed to produce. So we have the idea of opening it up to the public. I mean, everybody can participate. We've got the course set up. It'll be fantastic. We, again, tested it last year. Spectrum Sports Management, who's been involved with a lot of they do the Disney half marathons,
yes.
among other things. They're on board with us, and they're producing those events and actually all the things in Long Beach. So we've opened it up to the public, and people can sign up. We encourage you to sign up if you'd like to be a part of this. And it should be a good experience. That's the feedback we got last year on it also.
Yeah, and then the half marathon is on Saturday, August 1st. And people can just sign up at la2015.org?
Yes, they can. You go onto the webpage, and there will be a place where you can find the information about that. But just a little bit of information. The triathlon is starts at 8 a.m. on the 26th. It's a closed course, and it starts at Alamitos Beach. Again, you can find exactly where the check-in is. And so it's a sprint triathlon, half-mile swim, 11-mile bike, and a 5K run. Course map is up online, and then the half marathon on August 1st, that's an 8 a.m. start also, closed course, and we've got, it's a half marathon. You know, what can you say? That's how long it is.
Exactly.
That's how long it is.
Yeah.
And then go ahead.
I was going to say that the nice thing about the triathlon, we also have Olympic silver medalist McKeely Jones is an ambassador for the triathlon, and she's participating in that race on the 26th. So that'll Ironman. She's Ironman world champion as well. So
yeah, that's fantastic. And the Special Olympics athletes really appreciate that. And I have to tell you that they will really appreciate having anybody else join them to participate. And I think that while it's great for the athletes, and this is the thing that we tell people about volunteering and coming and watching if you've never been to a Special Olympics event, and that's, you know, you think you're going there to support the athletes,
yeah.
which of course you are, but you end up leaving with a whole different perspective on what people with intellectual disabilities can do, and it kind of tears down some barriers and lots of stereotypes. In fact, I'll tell you, after working in this movement for the last 10 years, I stopped using the word normal. It doesn't really mean anything to me anymore.
When people say able-bodied athlete or challenged athlete, it's like, you're athlete is the word.
Well, everybody's challenged in some way now, aren't we? Yeah, and when referring to human characteristics, I mean, we're all a different package of characteristics, and it kind of depends where on the spectrum you might be with any one of those hundreds of characteristics or more. So I literally just don't even use the word normal anymore. Referring to humans doesn't mean anything.
So, like you said, you've been involved in this movement for over 10 years now. A couple of athlete stories that moved you from over the years, and I'm sure there's hundreds of them, but are there a couple that stick out of folks who maybe came to a sport and didn't think they could do it at all and then excelled?
Yeah, I think my... I'm not sure. That's not the story I was thinking of. I was going to just recount the story of a young man whose father actually works for one of our huge sponsors, Mattel.
Uh-huh.
And his name is A.J. Fry. And A.J. Is the son of Alan Fry, who works for Mattel. And Alan told us the story after AJ had gotten involved that he was at a company meeting where the companies try to get their employees involved in volunteerism. And Special Olympics Southern California happened to be presenting that day. And Alan realized, I'd like to volunteer. And then he started thinking, maybe my son should be involved in this. And so he told the story later of his son, in, as he matriculated through school, he was in high school, and he just tended to be even, he got more and more isolated as he got older, which is a pattern that we see with some of our athletes who are mainstreamed. And Alan, once he got his son involved, said that his son was now somebody who had a social life. He was engaged. He was already competing. He was a really fine runner, but and part of the high school team. But you know, teenage years are tough on everybody.
Absolutely.
Let's just face it.
Yeah.
Okay. So he was more and more isolated. But once he got involved in Special Olympics and he found another cohort that he could relate to a little bit better socially, he just blossomed. And this kid who hardly said a word and was a bit of a wallflower, according to his father, is. At that point, you would never know that now. AJ is engaging and outgoing. He's still a terrific endurance athlete, and he is now a global messenger as well. These are athletes who are trained in public speaking, and he's done many public appearances and continues to participate as an endurance athlete. And, you know, that just, to me, was pretty amazing. We've got some other athletes who, we hear stories all the time of athletes who, until they got involved in Special Olympics, maybe had never, literally never spoken.
Wow.
And, again, I keep pushing people to the website, but there's a wealth of video on there, lots of interviews with athletes, that are really compelling, with athletes and their families, and the athletes and their families tell the story of the worth of volunteer or of Special Olympics better than anybody does. There's also some great interviews with some volunteers on there that will, and people that have been involved for a very long time who can attest to just what an experience it is. I mean, we've got, in Southern California, we've got volunteers who help us stage the annual summer games, some of whom have been in literally volunteering. They come together every year, 35 years.
Wow.
Same people. And it's, you know, they've had births among the different, you know, they've watched kids be born and grown up, and now they're volunteering. A couple of matchmaking adventures here.
We've
got weddings.
Yeah.
And they do reunions in addition to what they're doing working with us. So it's pretty remarkable.
How important is sport? I mean, it's funny. Sometimes we underestimate what sport does to change people's lives for the better.
Well, you're speaking to someone who's a lifetime athlete. I still compete. I just can't seem to stop training and competing. But to me, I think it's an important form of human expression, right up there with the arts and any sort of human expressive activity. And I think that sport is often kind of, or it certainly has been in the past, looked at as, you know, it's a nice to have. But just from the, if you're somebody who really thrives on that kind of expression, then you need to have it. And so I think everybody should have access to the opportunity to participate at whatever level you want to. It doesn't matter, you know, if it's, just every week, it's a recreational endeavor, or somebody who's really trying to pursue it at an elite level. You ought to have the opportunity anywhere in there. Because I'm speaking to you as someone who's, again, been a lifetime athlete. If you don't have that outlet, it can be pretty frustrating. And for people with intellectual disabilities, of course, I don't think it's any different.
No, same thing.
It's exactly the same thing. And if I had my way, every single community would have outlets for everybody who wants to participate.
Yeah, it's funny because the natural thing with people who are dealing with any type of issues is medication and psychiatrists, psychologists, and I think you and I both know that if you prescribe sport, if you prescribe fitness, it changes people for the better, makes them better parents, better, you know, better teachers, better at everything they do in life.
Yeah, Chris, like, you know, you and I are biased, but I'm sure there must be some science that backs that up, but I don't know what that science is, but I can just speak anecdotally about it.
Exactly.
And see the power of, you know, I coached for many years also, and I remember probably the thing that was most exhilarating about that wasn't so much the you know, their titles that were won, and, you know, people did really well. But really the best part of it is watching, being a part of that process where people discover what they're capable of doing at whatever level it is, the amount of joy and satisfaction that it gives to people. And I've taught everyone and coached people from, literally taught swimming for quite a while also. 2-year-olds, probably my favorite story was an 85-year-old woman who'd never swum before,
yeah.
And I gave her swimming lessons, taught her how to swim. She was like a child in the water.
Yeah.
And just watching the power of that self-mastery, and I think that's really a real key element in the value of sport, participating in sport.
It helps to change your perception of you. A lot of times
yeah.
your coaches and your parents and other people believe in you more than you do.
Yeah, yeah.
So talk a little bit about the challenges of having 7,000 people coming to L.A., 7,000 athletes and 3,000 coaches, because, I mean, that seems a little overwhelming to me.
Yeah, I know. Everybody says that. It's. I suppose it is. I mean, logistically, obviously, there's a lot to coordinate. We've got to provide services according to what we've agreed to provide in all kinds of categories. So there's the obvious, the housing and food. It's a lot of food, a lot of bed nights. And probably the most complicated part of this, once we get them here, I'm not going to say it's smooth sailing because we are going to have some bumps that we'll have to rely on our team to help solve as we go through things. But maybe the most difficult part of this whole thing is just really getting a handle on the detail. We need to know when every single individual is arriving at the airport, for example,
right.
and confirm what that is. Now, they're going to arrive in groups, but still, you've got to confirm what their travel schedule is exactly, so we know when to have buses there to get them so that they can go to get checked in and get their credentials and do all the things that they have to do before they ever get to their housing site. Then you have to, you know, imagine on the day that we're going to have all the arrivals, we'll have everybody arriving within about an 8-hour window between these two housing sites.
Wow.
And that's going to be a lot. Now, both campuses have a lot of experience with that. The difference will be that this is not a sport or cheerleading camp. This is people from 165 different countries, everybody with some kind of issue that makes it just a little more challenging to get done what you need to have done. But it's still... So that's
yeah.
the biggest logistical challenge. And then everything else is just more understanding what the assumptions are that you can base your planning on and then carry those out. Sounds simple, doesn't it? But
there's a lot
of work that goes into it.
You know, it's interesting when you're putting on events and, when you're putting any event on, a lot of times you focus on the logistics and, all the operations and everything else. And then you get out there on event day and realize why you do it. You
yeah.
see the smiles, you see the effort, you see the achievement, and understand how important this is to these athletes.
Yeah, and our job, basically what we're doing as the Games Organizing Committee is preparing the stage for the athletes to participate. And so you have to have everything in place so that when they get there, they can shine. And so, it's going to be a little messy behind the scenes like it is with all events. How can it not be with the number of moving parts there are? But we'll solve all those things, and the athletes and our other client groups should have a pretty darn good experience. That's our focus, is how do you make it a good experience for the people who are going to be a part of it, the athletes, the coaches, the officials who come, they're officiating at the events, the guests, the spectators, family members, the athlete families will be here, a lot of them, and our volunteers, of course.
Sure.
For our volunteers. You want that to be as good an experience as possible. And we're doing our level best to make it a top-notch experience.
Love it. Hey, Jen, thank you so much for taking so much time. Again, it's la2015.org for pretty much all the information, videos, photos, schedules. And you can participate. There's two events, the triathlon on Sunday, August 26th. It's a sprint try. And you can participate in the half marathon, which is Saturday, August 1st. And you can participate alongside some of the coolest Special Olympic athletes on the planet.
That's right. That's right. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Jan Pouchkoff has been our guest. Again, we're brought to you by RacePlace.com, RunCatalina.com, Challenge Athletes Foundation, and you can check out any of our interviews on iTunes or on Babbittville.com. My name is Bob Babbitt. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.